Hey, Holocult, do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. To the Hollow Sky Podcast Listener Experience Edition. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And if you're listening to this, Hollow Cult, it's 2025. Welcome to the new year. Welcome to putting the dumpster fire that was 2024 behind us. And now lighting this one the way you should with us, your favorite podcast, obviously. But yeah, we got a listener experience for you all this fine day, which we will get to after we get through the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. Come and hang out. Be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a fun thing to do. It's just cool. So if you have a paranormal experience or something otherworldly that's happened to you, did you join a different cult? Have you been abducted by aliens, possessed by a demon, tracked by the shadow government? Anything like that, let us know. We want to hear it. Kyle's got the details that you're going to need to get the information to us.
If you've had that happen, then you're definitely going to want to listen. Write this down. Tattoo it on your arm. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. And then what you're going to do, that's going to be your permanent reminder. So anytime anything weird happens to you, you're going to go, oh, yeah. And then you write your story out, shoot it over to that email that's now tattooed on your arm. Me and Steve file it, wham, bam. And then it's on its way to the races, which is episode. Just like that. Just like that.
I have it programmed into my Mac here to make that sound whenever I pull it from the email, put it in the file folder.
Yes.
Well, if you'd like to support the show, which I'm sure you do, you can pop over to Patreon for $7 a month. You get extra shows. You get early drops to these shows and every other show we put out. You get ad-free shows, which is also cool. You get casket breath jams. I've also started kind of posting like a daily Fortiana post over there where I'm finding these old newspaper articles of just weird stuff, like cryptid encounters and like giants being unearthed and just stuff I come across online. I will fully admit that I don't like search. I just online search and find them, and I'll post them up over there. People seem to like them. It saves people the time to have to dig around for it, and I mean, it's weird. So we're just doing that too until I forget about it. So
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool. You can also get some merch. Yeah, merch. See, Kyle's got this hat on for anybody watching it. The new hats are in HollowSkyPodcast.com over at the store. We got hats. Hats.
No, Steve's got his on too. Fresh. Yeah,
mine's just on backwards. Shirts over there. We're trying to get rid of some back stock. We got stickers over there. We're gonna try to put out some new designs here in 2025. Get it all kicking off. Also, leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you find us, listen to us, whatever. We'll gladly shout you out on our Monday regular show. And share the show word of mouth. Just keep sharing it. Keep sharing it. Go to your other weird, spooky podcast you listen to and reach out to them. Tell them to contact the old Hollow Boys and maybe we'll do a collab, a little something-something. Also, if you want some QR code stickers to just completely vandalize your town with stuff that leads to our podcast, shoot me or Kyle, your shipping address, and I'll send you some QR code stickers.
You remember that email that you tattooed on your arm?
Yeah, there it is.
That's what you're going to use it for.
There it is. Unless you're in Canada, because I don't know if mail's still not getting delivered there. I don't know. I don't know. It'll get figured out. So
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it's almost at the 5-minute mark. We've talked to the point where everyone hates. We're going to jump right into it. To the listener experience today. This one is a long one, so I love it. I love it. Here we go. Today's listener experience is brought to us here at the Hollow Cult by our friend Scott. Scott says, "Greetings, Steve and Kyle. My name is Scott, and this is my second submission for listener stories. I want to thank you for reading my first experience on the Hollow Sky podcast when I described how my phone overheard you mention a dude named Will Sasso, and I muttered to myself, who the hell is Will Sasso? As I also have muttered to myself. Several hours later, my YouTube feed had a couple Will Sasso videos, which to this day I refuse to watch. I still don't know who Will Sasso is, nor do I care. Anyway, I do enjoy listening to you guys tell your stories and offer your insightful commentary. Although my first submission was more lighthearted in nature, this next experience is far more unnerving and disturbing. I've only shared this with a select few in my inner circle because it carries a high level of unbelievability to the point that I was afraid I would be branded as a nutcase. My wife just happens to be one of those who thought I was losing my marbles. So here's the story. In 2003, we bought a house in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. It was your typical Midwestern split level where once you entered the front door, you had to make a choice of either to go up a short flight of stairs to the main level or go down into the finished basement. The house had 2 bedrooms on the main floor and 2 more bedrooms in the basement. When we first looked at the house before purchasing it, I noted that there was a gas fireplace in the basement family room. This was a good selling point for me because Minnesota winters can make split-level basements unbearably cold. When I told the realtor that the fireplace was a nice addition, she told me that the people selling the house used the money from their Alzheimer-afflicted grandmother to install it. The grandmother had passed away and her inheritance money was used for the fireplace. I'm not sure if the grandmother passed away in the house, but as you'll learn shortly, I suspect that maybe she did. We purchased the house, and for the next several months, we lived happily under its roof. Fast forward to March of 2004. I was working from home one day. My wife was at work, and our son and daughter were in school. That left just the family dog with me, and she was in her normal place, lying on the living room sofa. The day was uneventful until the kids came home from school. They popped their heads into my office to say hey, and then grabbed a snack and headed out the door to play with their respective friends. I heard our son slam the front door behind him. Our daughter said she was going to her friend Ginger's house, which was located directly behind our house. She was the last to leave. Not 20 seconds after I heard her leave, I heard a very loud crashing, grinding noise coming from the other side of the house. As my mind struggled to understand what the source of the noise is, my first thought was that the roof was collapsing. I'd received a ton of snow that year, and my brain immediately went to that idea. I stood up from my office chair and looked out my door and didn't see anything out of the ordinary. Then I thought maybe the balcony off the back of the house was collapsing from the weight of the snow. I knew my daughter would have walked past the balcony to get to her friend's house, so now my fear was that she was trapped under the collapsed balcony. I started to run toward my office door, and as I approached the entryway, I realized the noise hadn't come from either the roof or the balcony. Instead, I realized that the sound had come from directly across the hallway, our master bedroom. As I rushed into the bedroom, I noticed a big object rolling across the floor in front of me. It was an artificial flower arrangement that had been sitting atop my dresser. Confused, I turned to my right to see why the object was on the floor and not to my dresser. To this day, I have no explanation for what I saw. My dresser, which stood 4.5 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide, was turned on a perfect 90 degrees from where it should have been. The sound I heard was the result of the top corner of the dresser making a 4-inch long deep gouge in the wall as it was spinning from its current position. As I stood in shock, trying to make sense of this, every hair on my body stood at attention. The room felt unusually cold. It was just the shock that caused this reaction, or was it something else? I'll never know. What I do know is that what I saw froze me in place, and my brain struggled to comprehend what exactly I was looking at. I stood there for a solid minute with my jaw agape. Eventually, I decided I needed to make sure someone wasn't messing with me. I went to the kitchen to receive the sharpest knife I could find and told our dog to get up and come with me back into the bedroom. I searched in the closets, under the bed, only to find nothing. Nada, zilch. We, me and the dog, then went room by room through the entire house and came up empty. I decided to leave the dresser in place so that my wife could see for herself when she came home. I explained what happened and showed her the dresser along with the gouge in the wall. Her response was disappointing but expected. To put things mildly, she thought I'd lost my mind. Despite her skepticism, she asked that I not share this with our kids for fear that they would naturally be freaked out. I moved the dresser back in place, but left the gouge in the wall as a reminder of the event. Nothing else happened that day, but I was obviously rattled. 2 months had passed since the incident, and it was still foremost in my thoughts. Finally, I asked our son if he had experienced anything strange. He was 14 at the time, and I hoped that he wouldn't freak out. His response was, "Why do you ask?" I was expecting him to suggest I was crazy, like my wife did. Instead, his response was, "Are you serious? Because I had a weird experience in my room a few nights ago." He and his sister occupied the 2 bedrooms in the lower level of the house. For some reason, that part of the house always felt a bit ominous to me. Maybe it was because the lighting in that part of the house seemed dark, but regardless, I always felt uneasy down there. As for our son's experience, he said he woke up in the middle of the night and saw a shadow figure at the foot of his bed. As soon as he saw it, it turned and walked directly into his closet, where it disappeared. This, of course, troubled him, but he kept it to himself until I started asking questions about strange activities. He almost seemed relieved to know that he wasn't the only one seeing weird stuff. My worst fear had arrived. We were living in a haunted house. I honestly didn't know what to do at that point, and I was on constant alert every minute I spent in the house. A few more months went by, and I decided to ask the same question to our 12-year-old daughter. Have you experienced anything strange in the house? Like our son, she asked why. After I told her about the moving dresser, she gave me a response that to this day gives me shivers. She casually said, "Oh, there's 2 of them, but the nice one's named Cheryl. The evil one lives in the basement, but Cheryl tries to protect us from the evil one." What the fuck? I guess I could have asked our daughter how she knew all of this, but part of me really didn't want to know. A few years went by without any notable incidents that I knew of, and I was still on constant alert. When our son went off to college, our nephew would sometimes stay at our house, in our son's room. Our nephew is the very definition of a large individual. He was attending college in the Twin Cities on a football scholarship. He was an offensive lineman, stood 6'3", weighing 300 pounds, and could bench press over 350. Yeah, he's a big boy. When he stayed with us, he would have to sleep on the floor of our son's room because he just didn't fit in the twin-size bed that was there. One morning, he came upstairs for breakfast, and I asked him how he slept. He fidgeted a bit and asked if we had any weird experiences in our house. He went on to say that he woke up in the middle of the night, laying flat on his back. He felt the presence over him, and when he tried to move, he realized something was holding him in place. He couldn't move a muscle. He couldn't call for help. He was, in effect, paralyzed by his own terror. Keeping in mind, this was the same room that the shadow man had been spotted. After a bit, he was able to move again, but sleep was elusive after the event. Another incident occurred one night while we were out for a family event. Our son's friend lived next to our house. He said he looked out his window and could see the lights in our master bedroom rapidly flicking on and off for hours on end, almost like it was a strobe light. He kept watching out of his window, wondering what was going on. He saw our car pull into the driveway when we got home, and the flickering lights suddenly stopped. I guess one could argue that the light switch was stuck in the halfway position, but why would the lights suddenly stop when we arrived home? I also experienced a number of nights where I would wake up around 2:30 or 3 a.m. and feel a presence at my bedside. By this time, my wife and I were sleeping in separate rooms because allegedly I snored loudly. Definitely true. When I was awakened to this presence, my go-to reaction was to quietly recite the Lord's Prayer. Usually the feeling of being watched would go away and I would drift back to sleep. This went on for months. On one particular night, this mysterious presence crossed the line. I just turned off the light to go to sleep when I actually felt someone sit on the side of my bed. Not only did I hear the mattress compress from the weight of something, but I also felt the edge of the mattress sink down. At this point, I had had enough. I was tired, I was cranky, and this crap needed to end. I rolled over to confront what was there, and I didn't see anything, but I felt the presence nevertheless. Instead of using threatening language, I took a calm approach since I didn't feel the presence was malevolent. Was this the Cheryl that our daughter had told me about? Furthermore, was Cheryl the spirit of the grandmother who died from Alzheimer's several years before? As quietly and calmly as I could, I told the presence, "This is not your house. If you've been here protecting us, thank you. But now you need to go to the light and be in peace." For good measure, I recited the Lord's Prayer again. From that point, I had no more experiences with visitors in the middle of the night. This also gave me the courage to cleanse the basement of the evil spirit. Although I suspected who the good spirit was, I could only guess what the evil spirit was. One theory I came up with revolves around the history of the Native Americans in Minnesota. During the 1800s, there were numerous bloody battles between the Native Americans and European settlers. Eventually, the U.S. Army got the upper hand and rounded up the Native Americans. 1,600 of them were rounded up and were marched up from Fort Snelling in St. Paul, were imprisoned in a three-acre island that lies between the Mississippi and the Minnesota rivers. Little food, no form of sanitation, little shelter. In a short time, disease and starvation tragically killed off many of them. I can only wonder if the evil spirit in our basement was a result of some sort of curse in the land. Regardless, the spirit had to go. After some more prayers in the basement, especially in our son's room, the house felt lighter. All spirits seemed to be gone. In 2011, I was a victim of the Great Recession and lost my job. As a result, we ended up having to regrettably sell our house to a young couple with a small child. We moved to Wisconsin for another job, but our son stayed in touch with his friends from the neighborhood. Hey, Holocult. We are back, and we are excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. One of his buddies said that one day after about a year of selling our house, the wife of the couple who bought it suddenly ran out of the house hysterically screaming and crying as if she was trying to get away from something. I don't know for sure why she did that, but I have a sneaky suspicion cue the evil spirit music. We moved back to Minnesota in 2015 and lived just a couple miles from the haunted house. Sometimes I'll drive by it, partly because I miss the house and partly because I wonder what other stuff has taken place since we left. This collection of experiences has led me on a quest to understand more about ghosts, spirits, and the in-between world of the unexplained. I distinctly remember as a child that I felt I was not alone, even though I was the only one in a room. I was convinced that there was another dimension that we couldn't see, but there were other people occupying the space I was in. Maybe it was because my older sisters used to play with a Ouija board. The house I grew up in also had a dark feeling at times, and I was terrified whenever my dad told me to go fetch specific tools out of the basement. There was something ominous down there, and even when I was in my 40s, I hated going down there. The quest for answers will go on. So that's my story. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay safe, stay weird, but not so weird that you find yourself surrounded by ghosts and evil spirits and God knows what else. Your friend, Scott. Scott. First off, thank you so much for taking the time to type out this experience and send it over, especially for the second time. So let that be a lesson, Holocult. If you got a bunch of weird stuff, don't hesitate to keep sending it. We want all the smoke. But we don't get a lot of like haunted house stories.
Not really.
Not as much as you would think we would.
Yeah.
But it
and,
is.
And thankfully. Because that's always kind of at the back of your mind when you're trying to go purchase a home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you just never really know what you're going to get yourself into.
I feel like that should be posted on the like sales page.
Yeah. Because, you know, what do you do? A lot of people sink their life savings into homes and stuff. And once you get everything finalized, you're kind of locked in. Yeah. It's hard to like pack up and run, you know?
Yeah. You get the company that comes with it.
Yeah. It's just, it sucks.
It's the whole first act of this was like the dresser moving is wild to me, especially that you have evidence that it did it on its own and with such force that it left the gouge in the drywall of your bedroom. That is some next level poltergeist activity right there. Normally poltergeist activity, you see them like opening doors or moving small objects like plates and cups and stuff, but to move a filled giant dresser with force that it does that, like that's a pretty good feat for a normal person to do, you know?
Yeah.
You can't write it off that like your dog got caught in like got its leash caught on the leg and did it, or even your 12-year-old daughter walked through and was like throwing a fit and pushed the dresser. Like that's not gonna happen, you know. It was something with a lot of force and probably malevolent force from what they were saying.
I agree. And it's you have reservations about doing what he did too, about, you know, approaching the spirit that sat next to him and was like, hey, it's your time. Go on now, go on, get. Yeah. Because then if Cheryl was protecting the home, you just threw out your line of defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There is kind of a moral quandary there. Like,
yeah.
Do you keep her here in this weird purgatory because she's protecting us and our children, or do you let her move on and then take up that sword to battle whatever evil's there?
And it sounded like he made the decision to release the chains from her and send her on her way. And, yeah. And then he had to pick up the sword and shield and do what he could to, but the thing is I don't know for the average person, especially in a lot of cases that we've covered, man, you don't just get rid of those things. They don't just go away one day.
No. And I mean, as I kind of rounded out the story, it almost made me wonder if like this spirit was more so attached to him, since he always had this kind of dark lingering feeling over him that he was being watched, that he had some sort of like, it almost felt like he had some sort of attachment or connection since he was young. which could be pulled in from the Ouija board usage, you know. Like, I don't necessarily know that you have to be the one opening the door to get an attachment. So, but then you hear the story about the following owners of the home. Also, while we can't confirm that she was running out of the house due to something paranormal, you can infer that maybe it was. So is it tied directly to the home itself, or is it tied to Scott? So,
yeah, I didn't think about it like that. It could be. Could have been tied to him.
And
but it's nuts too that everybody in the house had an experience
except the wife, who except is the wife. The big skeptic, which is strange.
It is weird.
It's strange.
And they all had an experience minus the wife on their own, unbeknownst to everyone else,
and decided to keep quiet about it.
Yeah.
Except for the nephew, because he brought it up.
Right.
He came downstairs. Anything weird happen? Yeah. That's strange, man.
Dude, I'm not trying to actively deal with that shit.
No. Just the little encounters that we've had in their own was enough for a while.
Like, it's one thing to experience it out in the world. It's another thing in the privacy of your home. That's where it gets personal. That's where it gets overwhelming. Because at that point, it's unavoidable. You know, you don't have a safe space anymore.
Yeah, and when it involves your kids, that changes everything.
That does change everything. You're absolutely right.
So
it makes you wanna do anything you can to rid your home of what is potentially a malevolent entity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this thing too, we don't even have like. You don't even know what it is because we have no way of actually perceiving like anything. And I mean, aside from his daughter, I personally would have dug in more on that, but I can definitely understand why you wouldn't have wanted to.
Yeah. Because I mean, the connotations of that itself kind of open a new door. Like if you've got an evil, malevolent entity there, how powerful is Cheryl that she can keep it at bay?
Yeah.
You know, that sounds above and beyond just some normal, like, people that haven't passed on stuff. You know, because if you're thinking, like, a shadow man malevolent entity, you're thinking of, like, lower frequency, low-level evil stuff. So for something to be at a higher frequency than that, to be able to keep it, like, under wraps, keep it under control, makes you wonder exactly what Cheryl was to begin with.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know, man.
It's wild.
I don't know. And it is weird too that because I've had that happen before. My wife's had it happen before where you feel the edge of your bed compress like somebody just sat on it, you know. And that like it's weird how it played out because he was at a point in his life where he sounded kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this entity, we're going to assume that it was Cheryl, sits on his bed to essentially make, it was like she was trying to make contact.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of ironic the way it plays out because instead of freaking out, he calmly releases her. And it almost makes me feel like, not that it is this, but it makes me feel like she was sitting there to go, listen, I'm exhausted. I don't know how much more fight I have in me. Because you know what I'm saying? Because the way he chose to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is far different than I would have chosen. I probably would have picked anger. And been like, get the fuck out of my house. And we're not doing this.
Yep.
But almost he gracefully like released the binds to her and she left.
Yeah. Like she was to his knowledge. Torch. Like,
yeah,
I've done everything I can do. I can't seem to get rid of this thing. Time for you to like, this is like, almost like this is your home. This is on you. Which
It's weird, dude. It's weird. It is wild. I mean,
I love, like, at the core, at the very core, like, 8-year-old Steve loves haunted house stories.
Yeah.
And now that I'm 40-year-old Steve, and we're dug so deep in the world of the paranormal, and there's so many different avenues that you can trace this stuff back to, and so many different theories that we're now privy to like the point to where what 8-year-old Steve thought was a ghost definitely is not what 40-year-old Steve thinks is a ghost.
Right.
It makes you look at it through a whole new like lens.
It does. It absolutely does. And it's, I don't know, man. It's a, I love the idea that, because it, not that I'm trying to leave anytime soon, but it's kind of cool to think that in the afterlife, whether you are 80 years old with Alzheimer's, you can still be a fucking gangster.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that is cool.
That's a possibility in this next level. And then, like, it goes to show the type of person this Cheryl was to have no connection to this family, at least to their knowledge, and to stand and fight and try to keep something at bay. Like, that's cool, man. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to hear more of that. I'm trying to learn about that. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Especially when it comes to the kids. Like, she was actively in front of the daughter fighting this thing off.
Yeah.
Which makes me, like, I want more detail on that.
Yeah.
Like, was there a literal confrontation between these two entities? Because it sounds like there is.
Gives me goosebumps.
Especially when the daughter was like, yeah, Cheryl keeps him at bay. So it sounds like there was some button heads going on down in the basement.
I don't know. I think it's awesome. Like I said, it's super cool that's a possibility in the afterlife that you can kind of, I don't know, man. It just makes things a little more open, you know?
Yeah, that's dope.
Where you get to kind of make a decision on what you want to do and where you want to go. And
it makes,
because it's also weird how the disconnect, because I feel like in this world now, if I'm seeing a demon in my house, I'm going to be a little shaken.
Yeah.
You know, but it, like, yeah, she's like, let's get it. Let's get it.
What are you going to do to me at this point? You know, what are you going to do?
Film me? Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's cool, man. It's different.
Yeah. That is pretty sick. I got questions. I'm curious if, Scott, if you do manage to bring it up with your daughter again, I'm curious to see if she has any more insight on the Cheryl shadow being confrontation. Would love to hear that.
Also, can she continue with this type of knowledge?
Yeah.
Like, does it happen to her still where she can say, hey, so and so and so and so and so and so are inside this building?
Well, that would be interesting too. And further on that, like, are your children still having experiences beyond the house? Is this some kind of generational thing? Maybe it was connected just to you and therefore passed on to your children. Are your children still experiencing stuff? Are you still experiencing stuff for that matter now that you're living back in the general area? Because if it was like sort of the avenue with the Native American curse on the land, if you don't live too far, like should kind of be the same thing.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Curious. Hope you're still listening, Scott. I think you sent this not too long ago. I just dug it out of the emails, probably within the last month. So if you hear this, definitely hit us back. Answer our questions if you're able to do so. But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to submit this. Love it. Don't love that your family was terrified. It's also weird. Hold that thought. I was wrapping up the show, but this one just popped into my head. It's weird that your dog did not react to the commotion of the dresser being strewn about in your room, especially since it was so loud to you, you thought your house was collapsing.
Yeah.
And you, like, at one point you said you had to call the dog in. Maybe it was scared to the point to where it wasn't trying to fuck with it.
Could have been. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to call her in there like, hey, I'm not going in there alone. I get it. I get it. I do. But yeah, thanks again. Love it. Love it. I love, like, there's just something that stands out when we get experiences from our listeners, which I know that's what it all is, but it almost like it doesn't necessarily hold more weight to me, but it also kind of does, because I know that, like, you're all just everyday people like me and Kyle are.
Yeah.
And it's not sensationalized for the point of, like, if you see something on Unsolved Mysteries, you're going to think it's sensationalized for television. Hearing it just from the perspective of the person that encountered it just makes it so much more plausible and real to me, because these events did happen to Scott, you know, like, this is exactly how it played out for him. Just, I don't know. It's awesome. Anyway, welcome to 2025. We hope that this kicks off a great year for all of you in the Hollow Cult. Everybody, thanks for checking us out. Check us out at the social medias. You know the drill. Stay safe. Stay weird. Have a great 2025. And keep sending your weird shit over. We love you guys.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.